This is Megatron. This is the glorious Megatron. And this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Come to revive Steve Megatron Phillips. Years after I found him buried in the backyard under very, very light leaves and dirt. But alas, years. Now it begins. Waspinator.
Yes, Megatron.
Engage the nanomites and the machine. Yes. Now, we will input all of his memories from his dead carcass, and shall clone him a new body. One far superior that cannot be killed by TFG-1 Mike, or Pecan Court Michael. No.
Machine online!
Ha 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 ha. Yes. Now, input the transmetal to driver.
As you wish, Megatron.
And now, the data disk.
Narwhals, swimming in the ocean, causing a commotion, cause they are so awesome. Narwhals, swimming in the ocean, pretty big and pretty wide, to beat a polar bear in a fight.
Blast! Turn off that bloody sound.
Sorry, Megatron.
Input is Spark. Steve will live again. Oh, yes. Who shall live again? But out, Scourge, or I will send you to meet your maker. Very well. And now, the Tempest Fury, a spark ignites. Now Steve is back. How do you feel?
I feel very well, Megatron. Thank you for bringing me back. Now I will kill everyone!
I think you put the wrong disc in, Waspinator. That one was meant for Rampage.
Switching discs, Megatron!
Now I feel better. Thanks for bringing me back, Megatron.
No problem. Now that you are back, you can at least set the record straight from those fools. Yes, and I will finally get a guest appearance back in the show, whereas the last episode, I was not in it. No. Kill them. Actually, now that I've stuttered, I will kill them. You just follow on as your podcasting hosting duties. Yes. Waspinator, let's go.
As a wish, Megatron.
Well, now that I'm back, I guess, on with the show.
And now, your feature presentation.
Hello and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines Review Podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed Podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, DFG on Mike, and I am joined with Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello, I'm back from the dead.
No, you're not. And Pecan Court Michael, who buried him deep in the backyard, or not so deep in the backyard.
I am the grave digger.
No, Megatron was that, as you heard in the preface.
Yes.
He dug you up. I had to dig the damn thing to begin with.
Yeah, because Blanchard stood there and pointed.
Yeah, exactly. Would it kill you to raise a shovel? I mean, come on, honestly.
I'm an old, fat, lazy geek. I'm not raising any damn shovel.
I got like 7 years on you, and I'm lazy too. That's why he only got buried under a foot of dirt and leaves.
Well, that's because he handed you the shovel. He didn't actually do any digging. He did, like, at the ceremonies where they open up buildings and put the first big bit of dirt from the governor. Here, let's stick my foot in the ground.
So today we will be covering three more episodes of Beast Wars Season 1. Steve, what have you been up to this week? Or since we've last done a show for this show? Well,
most certainly not. Yes, I've gotten to take time off secondary job. Hopefully get to quit that soon. And then I have my Batman Beyond Return of the Joker custom, like, 90% done.
Cool. Oh, looks good.
Yes, thank you.
Is that all you've been doing?
Podcasting, and as you've heard in the preface, being a nerd and whatnot.
What have you been up to, Mr. Wilson?
See Megatron.
What?
This is for more information. See Megatron. He's pretty pissed at not being in the last episode.
I really wanted him to come on and sing the Narwhal song.
No.
I guess he doesn't like the Narwhal song after all.
No.
Well, you might hear Waspinator that one, but...
Oh, sweet. Waspinator's got it on his CD player, so...
Well, that's what he put in first instead of my program.
Yeah. Well, you know, no accounting for taste.
Exactly.
That's where Waspy's brain went. Swimming in the ocean.
Swimming in the ocean.
No. No.
They are so awesome.
No. Shut up. All right, Mr. Wilson, what have you been up to since 2 weeks ago when we did the last show?
You know, it's strange. We were talking off-air, like, yesterday, and I rattled off, like, four or five different things that I've been doing lately, and right now I can't remember any of them. But, yeah, that's how I've been doing lately. You know, I've been sick for the most part. I'm still nursing this cold, and... I don't want to bitch and whine too much, but yeah, I'm still under the weather. A lot better than what I was when we recorded ToyCast 50.
Yes.
Yeah. I was kind of crying at that point. And I'm the worst sick person ever. I just whine and whine, and everyone gets sick of me and basically just leaves me alone.
Would you like some cheese with that wine?
I'd like some wine with that wine.
Drunk
as
bastard.
Starscream would say.
As what?
I was waiting for a Starscream impersonation, actually. Yeah. As Starscream would say, chirp, 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 chirp. It's like, what is that, crickets I hear?
Crickets, crickets, yes. Crickets.
Well, I was going to do a Starscream respect my authority, but yeah. That'd be a little too loud.
That'd be awesome. You wouldn't want someone to come in and hit you in the head with a broom.
Shovel.
Shovel. Knock off all this. Blaster to hit you with shovel. He can't pick the damn thing up. So.
Knock off all this damn tree hugging hippie crap.
Come here, sonny.
That's right. Respect my authority.
All right, crap my pants.
crap. I love South Park when it was actually still good.
I haven't
Maybe
watched
before
it.
Trying to do The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that in years either.
Yeah. For me, I've not been doing much. I actually moved my bedroom furniture around the other day, which, whatever.
You can't pick up a shovel, but you can pick up a bookcase and a bed. Dressers.
Well, he had to figure out where the DVDs were going to go.
Yeah. My bedroom.
I need this wall free for shelving to put all my toys, and then...
Well, that's what the living room's for. But anyway, what else have I been doing?
Creating my love, Dan.
No.
Wow, wow.
No, no, no. I guest hosted on Superhero Time, which is Radio Free Cybertron's Power Rangers / Sentai podcast. I'm not really sure... What? Kevin and I got to interview Maurice LaMarche. That was really awesome.
You didn't ask him the clandestine penny questions?
No.
So, as far as possession goes?
No, we're not getting into possession yet.
No?
No, not yet. Hello? Don't you know I have to say now let's get into some episodes?
Oh, sorry. I was feeling a techno moment there.
No, shut up. Well, it's all Steve's fault. He lost his damn sound. He couldn't
damn
hear
it, Steve.
He actually, it just did cut out.
Are you going to die repeatedly?
Oh. So it's
that Steve, was a micro death.
So it's Steve's own damn fault. But anyway, so let's get into some episodes.
Crap your pants.
Oh, shut the hell up.
My pants are full.
Go find out what's keeping Waspinator. So there you are.
Yes, here I am, at very long last.
What happened to your voice?
Allow me to present myself. Air Commander Starscream of the Decepticon Battle Fleet! Myself, the entity came out of the computer.
But your ancient history.
Ancient, yes. History, no!
What's he talking about?
The Decepticons were our ancestors. For centuries, they warred with the Autobots.
The ancient ancestors of the Maximals.
That war was lost, alas!
And you were destroyed. It's written in the Chronicles of Cybertron.
Ah, so it was believed. I fell defending my leader, Galvatron, against the most powerful enemy of all, the giant transformer, Unicron! My exostructure was destroyed, but miraculously my spark endured! Drifting helplessly through the depths of space beyond the reach of time itself!
And now that you're here, Air Commander, what do you want?
Why, to pledge allegiance to the glorious Megatron and fight as your loyal lieutenant!
Well, you'll forgive the glorious Megatron for not melting into a puddle of gratitude. Tell me, why should I trust you?
Because I can show you how to crush the Maximals and win the Beast Wars once and for all!
First up today is Possession. Oh god, kill me now.
Oh, good episode.
Exactly. The original air date was February 3rd, 1997. It was written by Ian Weir. Lost to time and space, the disembodied spark of Starscream, legendary traitor to the Decepticon army, and second in command to the original Megatron, floats down to the planet's surface and infiltrates the dark side. During an Energon storm, Starscream takes over the body of Waspinator and immediately offers his services to Megatron, his goal, the destruction of the Maximals. Dun dun dun!
Dun.
Dun dun.
First note that I wrote down was Starscream again. God damn it.
The bot that just doesn't die.
I know, bastard.
He's immortal.
Yeah.
Well, see, this episode didn't make a lick of sense to me before when I first saw it because I didn't know who the hell Starscream was. And I'd never seen Generation 1. So when I saw Starscream's ghost and Ghost in the Machine, it made sense to me why Starscream ended up in Beast Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I guess if you had no idea who Starscream was, it wouldn't be a very good episode.
I still liked it regardless. I don't know why, but
yeah, but like, you know, old school fans, when they killed off Starscream, and when they killed off Optimus for that matter, you know, all you wanted was for Starscream and Optimus to come back, and you know, finally they shoehorn him in there in a couple episodes, and it was like the neatest thing ever.
Well, and the funny thing was, he possessed somebody just like he did in Generation 1, Season 3.
Yeah. Just kind of takes over their body.
I think this was, I smell reused plotline.
Yeah, the only difference between this episode and the G1 episodes where he took over Scourge and Astrotrain was that when he was in Scourge in G1, Scourge could actually talk back. Like, two personalities in one body. Whereas this, when he took over Waspinator, he took over Waspinator and just shut Waspinator's personality down.
Well, that's because Waspinator is a freaking pea brain, and can you imagine Starscream arguing with Waspinator?
That would have been funny to hear, though.
Waspinator, no IQ controlling me. Shut up, drown.
It would be something very similar, yeah.
I don't remember if it was I don't remember what scene it was. Cheetor actually hit something. Yay. I don't remember what scene it was, but
Cyber Bee.
Oh yeah, that's right. The Cyber Bee, that's right.
He finally hit one.
Yeah, that's right.
It says we're starting in somebody's home video. Two guesses who it is.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
That was going to be Pamela and Tommy Lee's video.
Good lord. Wow, that's really dating this podcast now.
It's going way back there.
Jesus Christ, man, you are old.
If you don't understand, look it up on YouTube.
It's an oldie but a goodie. This is very similar to young Steve watching TV and not knowing who Starscream is.
Well, for some strange reason, when you said it's an oldie but a goodie, I want to hear Huey Lewis back in time.
Yeah.
One of the things that pissed me off about these episodes, I think I've made several notes about it. Maybe I don't remember.
You write stuff down when you're pissed off about it.
Well, what's pissing me off is I've kind of got this whole count of when either side, Maximal, Predacon, whatever, transform without saying their goddamn activation code. Tigatron and Rhinox both do this on a vid screen.
Technically, they don't really have to say it. That would be like the Autobots and Decepticons saying, Autobus eyes or Decepticize. I mean, it would be retarded. You wouldn't hear them saying shit like that. So, I mean, they shut it down because they were like, this is kind of seeming too Pokemon-ish, and I think Hasbro's going to screw up and do it in Armada through Energon and Cybertron.
I think they did.
That's why they stopped doing it. And then they did the I Am Transformed later, and then they stopped doing it after a while.
Well, yeah, I know that, but it's just one of those things where, like, I can kind of almost forgive it in Beast Machines, maybe I can, I don't know, I'll have to get to that when we get to that, but here, the way they state it is that it's a technical thing that the Maximize Terrorize is an activation code for them to transform.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
It was an unneeded saying. Because as you know, they stopped doing it completely in Season 2 and 3 for the most part.
See, I'm going to have to wait till I get to those because since we started the podcast, I've been good and I've stayed within the parameters of how we record the episodes and I haven't, like, gone ahead. Well, actually, I did tonight, but... Like, I haven't gone through a whole marathon watch since we're watching them for this show. So, Star Waspinator Scream Splat.
That was quite possibly my most favorite explosion of Waspinator ever.
Yeah, I thought it was strange that, you know, even though he's inhabited by Starscream, Waspinator still gets a splat moment.
And Waspinator's like, Waspinator have headache in his whole body.
I love that line. I thought that was his whole body.
And,
I love when there's that big fire in the Predacon base at the beginning and Megatron's like, quickly, damage report.
Moderate. Waspinator pain, but still functional.
Not you, imbecile. The computer.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm okay. He's like, fuck off.
Like,
I don't care about
you.
That's right.
We need the ship, not you, dumb.
Yeah. If the ship was broken, I'd tear off your head and use it for spare parts.
I think I've already grabbed a quote for this episode, but I may be grabbing another one because I love... This is my final note. I don't know, when I started watching this episode, there wasn't really a whole lot to write down for me. I don't know, maybe I just kind of started just watching it to watch it. I don't know, even though I'm not a fan of Starscream, this episode was still very good. But I love Cheetor's Twinkle Twinkle Little Starscream.
And then he's vowing revenge on them as he's flying away.
Yes.
Back into the netherworld.
You know, I'll come back. Yeah.
Like, I'll be back, even if it takes 1,000 years. I'll be revenge.
Yeah, it's like, don't let the door hit you on the way out, buddy. Yeah, you just keep floating.
That's basically
away.
What Primal said, except he used a Terminator line.
Hasta la
vista. Yeah, hasta la vista, Starscream.
Don't float away mad, just float away.
Okay,
I love the fact that Starscream begins right off the bat, you know, his arrogant, cocky self, and is like, here, I'll bow before Megatron, even though you're not the one I've, you know, pissed on and walked away from. And then Black Arachne is like, you're a moron. You know, I know how it really went down. He's just a dumbass. He doesn't know history.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, Dinobot realizes that he's a freaking traitor because, well, Dinobot did it.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah, and I liked how they showed Unicron, even though the animation glitches were off.
Oh, the planet version, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was cool.
Because it was supposed to be a head, not a planet.
Oh, really?
Well, think about it. Season 3, Starscream's ghost, or...
Yeah.
He pissed off Unicron after he plugged him... Actually, he was going to plug him in Cybertron, and then he flew away, and, you know...
Actually, I kind of took it to mean that in Transformers the movie, instead of Galvatron tracking him down and blowing him up, he actually helped along... He was trying to push the story that he was still second in command of Galvatron and died protecting him from Unicron.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Unicron attacked Cybertron. That's the way I thought he was trying to push it.
Yeah,
he was trying to push it that
way. I know what happened.
He was just trying to make him believe what he wanted because it would work to his end, whereas
right.
He told him what really happened.
Megatron, you can't say, yeah, I dumped the original Megatron out into space for scrap.
And he came back and...
Yeah, nuked my ass.
Me.
Now, that's what I could... What kind of threw me for a loop there is, you know, Starscream comes back and says, I wasn't really a traitorous bastard. You know, he's giving this retconned version of the history. And I'm thinking to myself, now, is this what they're going to stick with? Is this is it literally retconning Transformers history? You know, and then later on in the episode, Black Arachne comes out and says, wait a minute, you know, Galvatron took you out because, you know, you literally left him for dead. And then Unicron ate him. So, I mean, she knew what was up, but, and I'm glad that she made it known, because otherwise, you know, who knows, maybe that bit of history could have ended up, you know, as canon.
Skewered, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been known to retcon things before.
Oh, yeah.
I
like how Megatron kind of alludes to the fact he knows Starscream is, you know, to his most loyal of Scorponok, but he doesn't, you know, he just kind of plays dumb, it appears.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't trust Starscream, so maybe he even knows, and he's just, you know, acting like... he can see what Starscream can accomplish before he traitors and then try and kill him then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was smart to put his most loyal lieutenant right next to him.
Mm-hmm. Keep your enemies closer.
Yeah. That didn't do Scorponok much good.
No. Yeah, he got blown away by Black Arachne.
Well, yeah, I think they both hit him at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Well, one hit first, and then Black Arachne took him out the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Notice, no Inferno.
No?
None whatsoever.
That's odd. Okay.
It's like he didn't even exist. You see, and then you see Airazor for like one quick scene.
Yeah, yeah.
I like how once Starscream took over the Axelon, that they bolt Primal to the wall.
Then, they did the shittiest job ever.
And then once they went off and did their own, you know, once Starscream went off and did his own thing, you know, Primal breaks free and goes back to the weapons under the armored flooring.
Yeah.
I thought
that was back to the stash.
Yeah, he's like, it's all going according to plan.
Well, it's like, what, so the only restraints you have on board are crappy substandard restraints that anybody can pull out of? I mean, that doesn't seem very It's like, well, why would we want to restrain anybody in here?
Well, it just tells you Predacons don't actually know how to do proper engineering.
Yeah, we don't know how to tie a knot, so...
Here, we'll hammer these screws and hope that they stay.
They need to go back to school for that shit.
That's right. You really need to learn how to do that slipknot.
I like how they did the Decepticon insignia on Waspinator's head when Starscream was in it.
Yeah, that was very, very cool.
See, I don't think I noticed that.
I did, yeah. Well, that was a good like 3 minutes where Waspinator and Black Arachne were looking at a view screen, and whenever one of them would talk, they'd kind of turn their head and look at the other, and you know that great big huge Decepticon insignia is right there on Waspinator's head.
Uh-huh.
I was like, that is cool. Yeah, but this was a good episode for quotes.
Yes, very very good quotes.
Yeah, I mean, Megatron had a lot of good ones, so I'm surprised Steve hasn't repeated yet, but,
this one by far is my favorite of, Megatron's.
Which one?
I'll scream in Black Arachnia. I'll have both their treacherous hides. Yes. I'll melt them down and use them for aluminum siding. Oh, yes, indeed.
I like that one. Use them for aluminum siding. I like he says, and thus you were encouraged to keep your beak shut.
I know.
As he's beating the snout out of Pterosaur.
Pterosaur.
Cheetor. Cheetor's bitching and whining because, you know, the Axelon's been taken over. And he's like, I bet one of them's in my room right now, going through my stuff.
I know.
And then Rad-Rad's like, go tell somebody who cares.
Yeah, well, Rad, you know what? I heard that and I thought, you know, that's funny. Because Rat-Trap's going to chime in with, you know, here's my rat's ass, Cheetor. Oh, no, wait, Cheetor. You can't have my rat's ass. Because I don't give a rat's ass about your stuff.
But he was like a pun in himself.
That's true.
Of course, Rat-Trap is also the same one that steals Primal's room.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. Let's not go too far into that.
Well, I'm not giving anything away, even though it's not really spoiler.
Well, no, it's not a spoiler, but that's a completely that's a topic for next time, shouldn't it? The show in 2 weeks.
I like this thing, though, where Primal says hasta la vista to Starscream, and, you know, a line from Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's flying away, he's wearing a pair of sunglasses on his face, kind of like Schwarzenegger.
Seriously?
Yeah, he's wearing, seriously, if you freeze frame it, he's got sunglasses on.
Before
he blows up.
That is hilarious.
To begin with, it was like thought to be an animation glitch, but I think it ties more into him saying hasta la vista.
Yeah. I thought that was just dumb, personally.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and look at that.
And I used to freeze frame this back when... And I had a guess because I had nothing better to do, so that I could get the freeze frame of Starscream in perfect shot, including looking at all the little glitches in the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't have that kind of time.
It took me, and I'll mention this in the outro, but what we're going to do as far as the art for this episode, I'll mention it in the outro before we close the show tonight, but it took me 45 minutes to an hour going back and forth between the to get that frame exactly right to get that goddamn picture.
That was
what you could have did?
Huh?
You know what you could have did to make it easier?
Could have did? What's a could have did?
you could have went to TF Wiki and just snagged that picture right there.
Oh, that would have worked too, yeah.
Because it's the first picture you see.
Oh, well, I didn't even look at the wiki for these episodes. I just...
They would not be any the wiser.
Yeah, I just didn't. I didn't have time.
That's what you get for being a stooge.
Well, I wanted to make sure the fucking computer was actually going to work. I turned it off for about 4 hours today, and I rebooted it before we started doing this, so, yeah.
Well, you never turn it off.
No. He wants to turn it on.
Let's turn it on.
Shut the hell up, you bunch of dirty old fuckers.
No, seriously, when you turn the computer off, there's like a certain percentage that it will never come on ever again.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah. So you're better off just not turning it off.
You can reboot it, but you're putting wear and tear on the power supply.
Yeah. I've had too many power supplies go bad to risk it.
Me too.
Two? Oh.
Okay, I've had two of them go bad. Do we have any other notes on Possession?
Great episode. Must watch. Do it now.
Why do you hate it, Michael?
You know, I liked it, again, because I really liked G1 Starscream. It was very cool to see him in there. I was very surprised that they didn't bring him back. I'm not entirely sure what they would do with him. But, I mean, the last time we saw Starscream, he had a body that he had swindled out of from Unicron.
Last time we saw Starscream, he got a body from Unicron.
Yeah.
And then what
happened? And then he went, ha ha, see ya, and he flew off.
Exactly, but something hit him. He got shot or... No!
Shot no,
no, no, no, no. The Autobots, in that episode, because Unicron's head was on Cybertron.
Yeah.
The Autobots went to blow up Unicron's head. They put charges around Unicron's head. His head exploded. The explosion knocked Galvatron and Cyclonus around. And then it knocked Starscream off into space. And Cyclonus is like... And Galvatron was like, wait, Starscream floating through space? And Cyclonus is like, ghosts can't float through space.
Yeah. Did he shoot him?
Yeah, they sure do.
Because as far as I know, he's got a body and he's still floating around. So how he ended up as a disembodied spark traveling through time is... I wasn't quite sure.
Maybe it was the Rock Lords.
Oh.
We have anything else on this one, or do we want to move on, or...
Well, I technically don't ever want to see the next episode move on, but...
we'll just skip the low one. Road all the lowbrow road altogether.
Seriously.
The ongoing fart joke. That's all it's called.
I am usually one for potty humor.
This is excessive.
Exactly. This was just lame.
Alright, I think we're done with Starscream's ghost possession.
Okay, you don't have anything else, Michael? I don't want to stop it before you say, oh, well, I had like a page and a half more notes.
No. You know, I enjoyed it, but there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, aside from the really great quotes, there wasn't a whole lot to really comment on here.
Okay, moving on.
Gesundheit. I would suggest we move him to a less vulnerable location.
His power cells are fading fast. If we don't find a countervirus soon, he'll not only destroy the base, but himself as well.
Sure about this chopper face? I inflicted considerable damage on Tarantulas. He cannot have gone far, and he will no doubt have the countervirus.
Yeah? Well, you better hope so. For your sake.
Excuse me. Are you implying that the current situation is somehow my responsibility?
Well, you did start it. Gearhead!
I beg to differ, cheese lips!
Pre-evolved bird brain! Eater of garbage!
Sheesh, and they call me the immature one. Hey, Optimus, are you sure it was a good idea sending those two out together?
To be honest, no. But their squabbling has caused problems before. They'll either learn to work together or they'll destroy each other. Right now, I don't really care which.
Wait! I detect a scent. Vile corruption. A whiff of festering putrefaction.
So I had a limburger sandwich for lunch. I'm a rat. Give me a break.
I have been uncomfortably aware of your stench for the past hour, vermin. This is something else. Something over there.
Yeah, it's mine.
Leave battle to the warriors, mouse. Hey, where'd he go?
Moving on to the low road. Was the original air date was February 10th, 1997. It was written by Bob Forward. During a brief battle just outside the Axelon, Tarantulas fires a strange device at Rhinox's face. It attaches itself in there and infects the Maximal Scientist with an energon discharge virus. The virus gives Rhinox symptoms similar to the common cold of Earth, but also quickly drains away his energy. The Maximals begin searching for an antidote, but time is running out. Wow.
No, sir, I didn't like it.
Well, just from reading that last... reading the last line, the time is running out, I want to hear that song, Time is Running Out, or whatever the hell it's called. I don't know, it was in the updated version of SWAT, the SWAT movie.
Yeah.
But anyway,
you know what I did notice here?
What?
The whole movie's chock full of ass shots.
You mean
and I know how much you love the ass shot.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Ass shots.
I don't know. You know, I didn't really at first I agreed with Steve because I didn't remember watching this episode as far as it being god-awful. When I went to watch it, I found myself laughing through the whole fucking thing.
Oh, you laugh now.
Shut the hell up.
No, I just I don't find the sneezing funny.
I find it's not really like, the sneezing that's funny, it's the fact that he's spewing energon out of himself and destroying shit.
I didn't understand. It's like, why would you keep him in the ship if he's spewing out the... take him outside. So he shoots down a few trees with his snot. You know, who cares?
Well, it's like you do with a dog. It starts farting really bad, you kick it outside.
Put a leash on him and tie him to a tree.
Just be done with it.
I just didn't understand why wouldn't they just take him out?
Especially when he might spontaneously combust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, can you imagine you'd have energon and fart juice all over?
God,
and rhino pieces.
If it had been farting, I think I would have found it more funny. I mean, if it would have been like a South Park episode where every time you turn around, he goes,
and then he went.
Yeah, I would have been rolling around on the floor. I think this might have been my favorite episode, but the sneezing and the shooting out of the nose, I just. It wasn't my cup of tea, let's say.
To me, this is a throwaway. This is like another rehash of guerrilla warfare and so on.
Yeah.
Another virus thing, another, oh, boo-hoo. This time, instead of making him go ape shit, he literally takes a shit.
It's a thermonuclear azuka shit.
Yeah, I will agree that there is no plot development in this episode as far as the overall story of Beast Wars. However, the rat trap golfing was awesome.
Yeah.
In the beginning, when he goes four and hits Dinobot in the ass.
Yeah. Another thing I do like, unfortunately, out of this episode, is when the constant bickering of Dinobot and Rat Trap, like a married couple.
Yeah.
And Tarantulas wakes up around him, and then he says, "Die, Maximals." And then they yell, "Shut up," and punch him in the face and knocks him out again.
Yeah, it's like the 80s buddy movie.
You know, one of the things about the whole Tarantula thing, I made a note of Dinobot's I-beams actually hit something other than the cave ceiling. But that's when he was damaging Tarantulas. And I like how they put in the kind of like Tom and Jerry Looney Tunes sound effect when Rat Trap and Dinobot transform and then Tarantulas goes running like to the left side of the screen. Yeah. You could hear the little like race car zoom. Yeah. And I believe that's in the audio that I grabbed for this episode. I'm not sure. Of course, you know, I would have already heard it by now.
Overall, there was a lot of silly elements here. There was just a little bit too much slapstick for me. I mean, there was a whole lot of you know, those Looney Tune moments in this episode.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Rhinox has to sneeze, and his whole head expands. You know,
I thought that was kind of cool. I thought it was a nice little effect, and it was kind of funny.
It was just too silly. Everything got silly.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked it. The one thing that I liked was Scott McNeil had to have done the first 5 minutes all by himself.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. I'm sure he ad-libbed and did a lot of funnier shit in the studio, I'm sure.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, he probably spent a good half an hour filming the five minutes.
You know, the sad thing is I still have, like, you can sign up for a free 14-day trial for IMDb Pro to get information that isn't on the regular IMDb. I looked up Scott McNeil to try to get his agent info.
Yeah.
Not listed. So, us getting a Scott McNeil interview in the near future is highly unlikely, unfortunately. And he still hasn't friended Michael on Facebook.
I know. I'm so bitter.
You know what? Friend.
If he goes to BotCon, I'm going to track him down and be like, Scott, come on, buddy.
Oh, he's going to that other one over.
He's going to the UK one. Auto Assembly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who doesn't want to go to London? I mean, come on.
Yeah, really. All right.
You're going to pay for me to go to London? I'll go to London.
I have two notes here, but it's pretty much the same kind of note. The first time when I took the note, sliding down the proverbial bat pole, / tunnel of love doom.
Bat pole?
Yeah.
What was your bat pole?
Well, it's not a pole, it's the tunnel of love doom thing. Because when Rat Trap and Dinobot get trapped by Tarantulas, they're sliding down the slide thing.
Yeah.
Even though it's not an actual pole, it's still going from above ground to underground. Same thing where Batman and Robin slid down the bat poles. Kind of. But then I made another note.
Less ambiguously gay.
Duo.
Well, and then I made another note, tunnel of love / doom, because it's a whole slidey thing. Anyway.
That's... Yeah, see, now, we're going from ambiguously gay to tunnel of love to slidey thing, and it's just making me uncomfortable. I'm sorry.
and then you got Rhinox's anus being clearly shown later in the episode. So.
Exactly. It's just more ass shot for Blanchard. What? Rhino ass? Ooh, okay.
That's timing.
That's... we can't make this shit up. I mean, honestly.
No. One of the quotes I do like from this episode...
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I think you know what I'm getting
at. I know what you're getting at. This is my favorite. I want to hear you do it, though.
Alright, fine. I cannot do the other character.
Oh, no. I will be Black Arachnia.
Fine.
Why do you talk to yourself?
Oh, I simply have a penchant for intelligent conversation.
I love that. That is my favorite line. Yes, I've used that before. So,
Michael being Black Arachnia gives me a disturbing image.
Well, at least I can't do the voice, because that would be funny as hell if I could.
That would be disturbing.
Yeah, I would be disturbed. Hell, I mean.
Yeah,
I like this quote too. Like A2, having you talk like Black Arachnia and me Megatron. But anyways, he goes, "This is certainly the most humiliating defeat of my entire career."
Yep.
Yeah.
I think
got blown away by a fart.
A Looney Tune circle.
Yeah. I think I got that as the quote for this episode, but I don't remember. I may have to add in two quotes this time, because I like the twinkle, twinkle, little Starscream thing, but I think I did grab the Megatron, "This is easily the worst defeat in my career" thing for the quote.
as they all hang on the Tree of Woe.
And then Waspinator falls off and kind of makes a slight, you know, alive walla noise.
The walla noise?
Yeah, well, you know what walla is, right?
No.
It's where, if you have a crowd shot, it's just... Crap. How am I going to... It's just people talking all at once. And just picking up different things. I don't know. I watched it on the Justice League stuff, where Andrea Romano was talking about it, the voice director Andrea Romano. But anyway, but he makes that, like, half-alive sound just to let you know he's still alive.
He's alive. I'm not dead.
I feel happy.
What else do you...
Happy. I'm going for a walk now.
What else do you have for this one, Steve?
What was it? Black Arachnia alludes to the fact that Tarantulas has encrypted information on his computers foreshadowing his future agenda.
This is porn.
Well, he doesn't want to probably. See it. He's like, the ladybot cannot ever know.
he's hiding his monitor. Don't look, don't look.
Well, it's probably pictures of her.
I've got pictures of her. I mean,
he's like,
there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. That's natural. Yeah.
But, and when the Maximals burst into Tarantulas' lab, where Air Razor's copping a feel on Optimus.
What?
You must have missed that. She's holding onto his leg. Her arms all wrapped around instead of holding a gun. She's just. It's like the Princess Leia holding on to Luke's leg type thing.
I totally missed it. I might have to go back and watch it now. Huh?
Yeah, she clearly wants it.
She clearly... I think that should be the picture for the episode.
No.
With a Star Wars font.
No.
Ooh.
No.
Yeah. I'll make that one for Michael if he sends me that clip, so...
I'll have to go back and find the clip.
That's funny. I'll have to go back and look because I don't remember that at all either.
Tarantulas likes spare parts of Waspinator.
Who does
a collection? And if Hicktrap has a collection of his own.
You know, if they pool all their parts together, they could probably make another one.
They can make an army.
That's a clone war.
What was the episode? Was it this? It wasn't this episode, but wasn't it this show? Where there's a quote from Rat Trap where he goes, oh my god, they're in the base right now! What if they're raiding my room? Do you know how many pieces of Waspinator I have? I think...
No, because they said they're going to move. And he
said... Oh, that's right! In Optimal Nemesis Situation...
Nemesis Part 1.
Not Nemesis, no.
Yes, Nemesis Part 1. I swear to you. Because they have to move the Ark. Or no, it's Nemesis Part 2.
I thought it was...
How many pieces of Waspinator I got?
Thought it was Optimal Situation.
No.
How many pieces of Waspinator? You know, actually, yeah, if they all pooled their pieces together, they could make a new body for Starscream.
No! No!
Yeah, then he could be a permanent character.
No.
Who needs Unicron?
Yeah!
Waspinator. Your parts. We'll just color them white and red, and there you go.
There we go. Like, we need another Waspinator repaint.
It'll be Horny Scream.
Waspinator in Starscream colors. I wonder if anyone's done that.
I don't know.
It's called Transmetal Waspinator.
Oh, maybe it is.
That's what they meant for.
No, the Fox Kids version, I think, is
yeah, it's like a red and black.
Yeah.
And it had the jet mode as the vehicle.
I might have to drag him out and look at it again. That's an interesting call.
Yes.
The only other thing that I had was, you know, when Rhinox comes out to, defend the base, he's knee deep in the spent shells, right?
And then he gets
nailed by a face hugger. And I'm like, oh sweet, something's gonna burst out of his chest. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
And instead, something bursts out of his ass.
Really funny.
What?
Things bursting out of Rhinox's ass? Okay, that was funny, kinda.
Well, it would have been funny if it did, like, Alien and, you know, this little, like, lizard thing popped up. Turned into, like, a mini Dinobot and ran around and started shooting them, like a cassette of con.
It's Space Herpes.
You know, that's what I was gonna bring up. when who fired the thing? Was it Tarantulas or Scorponok?
Yes. Tarantulas.
Okay. When Tarantulas,
millions of little spiders come out.
Right. When Tarantulas fired the virus thing, if Dinobot hadn't fucking moved the goddamn coward, it would have been him that got hit with this thing instead of Rhinox.
But it just wouldn't be amusing seeing this, you know, muscly looking dude. They gotta get the fat guy with it.
No. No, screw that. Because if, think of it this way, there was a, I don't know where it was, I think it was in a future episode where Dinobot does his head spin thing with the I-beams. Think about it, if Dinobot had the virus, every time he would sneeze, the energon would come out of his eyes and his head would go 360 all the time.
He'd be like, my eyes are bleeding. Could you imagine Cheetor with his virus?
Oh, God.
Optimus, my butt burns.
I feel like I had some nasty tacos. Who fed me that guacamole?
Rattrap would be nice. Like, I knew I shouldn't eat that garbage.
You know, I really like the fact that Rattrap and Dinobot are the immature ones in this episode versus Cheetor, because Cheetor even comments on it that, geez, what's, you know, and I thought I was the immature one.
Yeah.
You know, I like that it wasn't an episode based on Cheetor screwing up.
I think we've gotten away from that at this point. Like, the first few were, you know, Cheetor, you're not listening, and you're making bad decisions, and now we got to save your ass again. And, you know, we've gotten away from that. I would say, you know, he's learning, and now we're starting to find plot devices through, you know, other means.
Well, he's not 12-year-old Cheetor anymore. He's 14-year-old Cheetor.
He's 16. Here, son, have the keys to the car.
He won't be 16 yet. That's when he gets his next body. That's when he gets to fly. Then the next one, he hits full on, like, late teen puberty, and yeah.
Sweet. Yeah,
so, transmetal transformation is equals puberty. Oh, great.
That's why Primal's an old man by the end of the series. I'm so tired of this.
It's like, Cheetor, you've made me turn gray. You suck. I hate you.
Cheetor's like, black arachnia, yum.
That's only when he turns 21 and is legally allowed to drink, when he goes black and yellow.
God.
What?
No, he's going to have to borrow Tarantulas's picture collection.
Yeah.
What do you think he was doing in that base?
I'm not going to risk my ass to get in the Tarantulas's lair for nothing.
Well, he did the day Tarantulas died. He had to get those pictures off before Tiger Hawk blew it away. Anyways, we'll talk about those later. But
yeah, we'll talk about those later. Anything else on the low road?
Stay away. Stay very far away.
Aside from the Raiders of the Lost Ark boulder.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to hurt. Yeah. What, you saw the Raiders of the Lost Ark boulder?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody's seen that. It's been spoofed in almost every movie.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that they'd bring it up here and then clobber Tarantulas with it.
Well, they've brought everything else up in this series. Hell, Dinobot says Gesundheit earlier in the episode.
See, silly. Too damn silly. Didn't enjoy it. It was just too strange.
But he said it like he was so serious. He didn't say it like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Whatever. I don't know. Alright.
Like, would you like some gray poupon with those depends?
God. Okay, on that note, we are going to move on. Yeah, you can stop now.
Snowstalker, let your hunting ground shelter you now.
Oh. do this again?
It's never easy to bury a friend.
But it is too easy to do this.
We had no choice. The Preds.
Pedicon nor Maximal, what is the difference? In my lust for battle, I caused the death of an innocent.
Ha! There are no innocents. This is war, and this... well, this is simply a battlefield.
We made it so! And every time we do, this world suffers. But I will have no more of it. From this moment on, I am no longer part of the Beast Wars.
Up next is Law of the Jungle. Original air date, February 17th, 1997. Written by Mark Liren Young. It starts out, during a mountainside battle between Predacon and Maximal Forces, a non-combatant falls, an organic white tiger, companion to Tigertron. Blaming himself, Tigertron vows never to fight again and abandons the Beast Wars. And can Dinobot and Optimus Primal convince the Maximal Scout to return?
Probably not. But yeah, they do.
They do. You know, we've had this conversation before during the TFG1 podcast, as far as the I'm a pacifist now stories. I really hate them.
You're in the damn war. Deal with it.
I know. It's like, you know what? Your entire existence is based around shooting these guys over here. Yeah, I don't want to hear this. I'm just going to go live in a junkyard shit. You know,
wait a second here. Wait. I have to kind of disagree with you because of the fact that the G1 stories of those characters that aren't the fighters... Yeah. They just don't want to fight. They didn't actually cause the death of a friend. Now, Tigatron, that last shot that he got off, hit the mountain that caused the avalanche to kill Skystalker or Stormstalker or whatever the fuck the goddamn tiger's name is. I don't fucking
Snowstalker.
Know. Snowstalker. There you go. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of fucking repaints.
It wasn't even a repaint. It was a tiger.
Well, Tigatron... caused the death.
Girlfriend.
We need a Battle Cat repaint as Snowstalker.
Oh God! All right. Anyway, so the difference between the G1 stories and this story is that they never caused the death of a friend. So I can kind of overlook the whole, you know, I'm not gonna fight anymore.
Yeah. I kind of wish that I could remember the exact plot line for that G1 one where first aid. Basically says, I don't want to be I don't want to be a fighter anymore. I'm not going to fight. You know, Defensor is basically without a leg at this point.
I know what it was.
What was it? And he lives in a junkyard and he fixes washing machines.
Right, yeah. But the reason why it happened was the Decepticons broke in and injured Blades, or they injured something or somebody, and First Aid just wasn't gonna. He kept saying, "You know, I'm not a fighter. I'm a medic. You know, I'm a medic. I don't do the fighting."
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
See
now, you know, don't puss out. They give you a gun for a reason.
Yeah. True.
it's like let me get this straight now. You were about a size class away from being a target master. there's no reason whatsoever for you not to want to shoot people.
As much as I hate all the bug bots, Waspinator's really growing on me. I love me some Waspinator. When he does anything he does is just hilarious.
Well, yeah. That's why they kept him on for the duration of all the way through Beast Machines.
Yeah.
Well, after they killed Pterosaur and Scorponok and...
Well, they had to keep Waspinator. He was like their Rhinox.
Oh, my God.
He wasn't burping and farting.
Okay.
No, he just blows to pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waspinator blows up good. Tigatron is good when emotional. I think Blue Mankuma really brought the emotion out in that character. With the whole death scene of his friend, and, you know, they didn't play it off like, oh, she's dead, who cares? you know, they really... The story was well written, and the lines were given very well as well.
He did a great job.
Yes.
Very well done.
Another transforming without activation code. Fucking Dinobot did that.
So, yeah, you're going to bring that up like 5 times.
I know. Well, I'm going to bring it up again now, but I have a question for this. When either Megatron or Optimus, like when they're like leading their teams against each other, when either one of them says, you know, Maximals maximize or Predacons terrorize, if just one of the leaders says it, it's an activation code for every single Transformer.
It's more of a command that they're ordering.
I know, but still. That's all I'm going to say about it.
It's like, it's a switch, and you have to flip the switch in order to make it work.
Well, it's like saying, here's a red button, press it. Yeah. Wait, don't press it, but they press it anyway.
They press it.
Yeah, and you know, now that I'm thinking about the whole thing, you know, there was times in G1 where Jazz would say, Autobots, transform, and they would all transform into car mode or whatever, but... Yeah. But still, you know, here, the way I said it before in this episode, the way that I understand it, it's an activation code. It's supposed to activate the transformation and whatever. I don't know. Final note, I didn't take a whole lot of notes on these episodes. I really just started watching them because I started liking them a little bit. Wait, Tigatron's gun has an extinguisher mode?
Sure, why not?
It's not an extinguisher, it's a Mr. Freeze gun.
If it's a Mr. Freeze gun,
he's a snow tiger.
Well, if it's a Mr. Freeze gun, why don't they put him up against Inferno?
He's like, here's my Frosty.
Say hello to my icy friend.
Oh, good lord.
You know, at the beginning of the episode, and again, I hadn't watched this in a long time, so I forgot what it was about, but at the very beginning, there's... you know, a bug, and the bug gets eaten by a frog.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's a frog! So that automatically, there's foreshadowing. Surely they're foreshadowing here. The next Transformer's going to be a frog. I don't remember there being a frog.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, because you think there's going to be a stasis pod coming down and scanning, and they're going to hit the frog. But then the frog gets eaten by a snake. And I'm like, alright, a snake! You know, the next Transformer is going to be a snake. Sweet! I don't remember there being a snake. And then the snake gets eaten by a bird. So,
and then the bird by Pterosaur.
Well, we've already got a bird, you know. And I'm thinking, who's going to eat the bird? Well, Pterosaur didn't eat the bird, but I was waiting for it to happen. I was waiting for the Pterosaur to swoop out of the sky and eat him.
He thought about it.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. You know, because, you know, he's getting like 3 meals in 1. He gets a bird and a snake and a frog.
And a fly.
And a 4 meals in 1. That's right. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition smorgasbord. Nobody else gets that. Chirp, chirp. I sent that link to Blanchard specifically so that he would understand what the hell I'm talking about when we break into the Spanish Inquisition skit.
What link? And there will be no goddamn Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Shut up.
My favorite character didn't even appear in this episode.
Who was your favorite character?
Megatron?
Waspinator was there.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, never mind. Yeah. Dinobot. I think this might be the first time I've actually ever seen him do this, but his head retracts down into his body to avoid a missile or something.
I love being a turtle!
I thought the same thing. I'm like, I love being a turtle! And his head shrinks down.
Did anybody like the huge, like, almost nuclear missiles that the...
Yeah,
the big boys.
Yeah, the big boy missile, big boy rockets. Yeah. That the Waspinator could barely pick up.
Oh, yeah!
My arms will fall off.
I completely expected him to fall straight into the ground and have it blow up on him.
He almost did.
Okay, yeah. So far this episode currently has 3 quotes. The Megatron one, I gotta go back and get the Cheetor thing, and the Waspinator thing where Pterosaur gets splatted and he's like, do something! Pterosaur did not give signal. Attack, you moron! Ospinator will engage enemy. I love it! I love it!
Yes, that was probably one of my favorite quotes of the episode. Next to the scene where Tegatron is waving his finger at Inferno, lecturing him, even though Inferno's standing there staring at him, not understanding a word he's saying, while shooting his flamethrower laughing. And you've got Primal and Dinobot in the background in beast mode, waving their thing. Bad Inferno. Bad Inferno.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I want to bring up a topic here that I don't think we've covered before. Now, Snowstalker is a tiger, not a transformer, but he is... She is Tigatron's companion, quote unquote, right?
Well, because that's what Tigatron scanned from originally in Fallen Comrades.
Right, right. So I mean, they're an item. They're a couple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the nice part about embracing your beast side, you know, as they did earlier in what the hell is the name of the episode?
He did it tiger style.
Yeah. Well, that's about it. You know, it's like. You know, all right, I'm going to come out and say it. Is he fully functional in beast mode?
Apparently.
Are they rocking the Tigatron boots there?
Do rhinos fart?
I suppose they do. Does a bear shit in the woods?
Apparently.
Does a grizzly one shit?
Does the president shit in the woods?
I one would hope not.
Well, they always do so from the mouth. So
that's a politician thing. But, you know, here's my question. It's like, is it considered bestiality if you're both in beast mode?
It would have been really wrong if he was in robot.
Well, yeah, exactly. Dang it. Yeah. But I'm confused. I'm not sure what's going on here. I'm assuming it's just really easy to pick up chicks in beast mode. Hey, baby. You know?
Well, like, he could have, you know, opened up his, that little patch in front of his crotch in robot mode and been like, where did I put those testicles?
They're in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, it's...
Reaching around, trying to find, go get Snowstalker.
And, you know, if it was like a Michael Bay Beast Wars thing, they would, like...
They really would have testicles.
Exactly. They'd be heavy, dangling, like, swaying around. What is your position? I'm directly below Tigatron's testicles.
Michael Bay has raped my childhood like Starscream rapes metal bugs.
That's right. Ride that bug! Ride
your position, standing up.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, they bring this in, and I feel bad that Snowstalker died. It's terrible. He should have never brought her into that situation. It's like, what were you thinking? It's like, you know, oh, I'm going into battle now. Come on, sweetheart, let's go. We'll make a picnic out of it. She should have never been there, and I feel bad that she died, and it's rough on him, I understand. You know, buddy, there's plenty of other fish in the sea. There's lots of other snow tigers out there.
You got together with Airazor, and then they merged.
And then they became transsexual.
Were they...
Bouncing
around,
I can have sex with myself.
Ugh. I'm not even going to go there, alright? I think I went far enough with bestiality. So.
You're the one that opened the floodgates.
Exactly, yeah.
And then we just let it pour out.
Let it pour. Let it flow, baby.
Spreading more DNA all over the world.
Now, spraying DNA
That clip where he realizes he blew her up, you know... accident.
It's like, oh, fuck, I think I just blew up my girlfriend.
Well, yeah. He's standing there and he's clenching his fists and he's looking up. It looks like he's trying to dig a dome. Like, seriously. He's clenching and he's like...
Yeah. He's trying to launch himself into orbit out of pity and grief, but, you know, I'm...
Like, where are those explosive beans?
They never show those anymore after that. One day, the whole ship was overrun with them. The next day, we mowed the lawn. It's fine. But they show the dead body.
No, he buried it, though.
Well, I mean, I didn't see a body. There's no proof that she's dead, you know, but then they've got a grave there. So I was like, oh, maybe he found her. Maybe they just didn't want to show her shattered remains, her bloody corpse under all the rocks.
I wonder what that would look like.
They're
like a kill.
Yes, it's plenty of shattered expectations.
It'd be like that piece of clone Dinobot coming out of Dinobot's teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Want a bite?
That's a rather tender subject. Another slice, anyone?
I can't believe Michael is the only one that laughed at my my illusion there.
What one?
The shattered expectations.
Yeah. Thanks.
Steve doesn't get it.
Steve doesn't.
No, I don't get it.
Steve's in the dark, as usual.
That's okay.
So says G.
And lastly, Pterosaur has a Team Rocket moment.
No!
Nothing. He didn't even hit a rock this time. I mean, he just flew off into the sky.
Didn't something shoot him or someone shoot him?
I want to... You know, for some reason, I think it was Inferno that blasted him out of the sky.
Yeah, by accident, I want to say.
Yeah.
He was shooting aimlessly at everything and I think missed.
Yeah, and Pterosaur went...
I like that Inferno still holds a grudge. He calls Tigertron destroyer of his colony.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
And now I'm going to make you blow up your girlfriend. Yeah. You know, it's just... That's terrible. I still keep going back to that. It's like, so he's got a girlfriend that's a real tiger? And what do they do together exactly? Do they just frolic and play in the glades? Or is there something...
She just understands me.
And she listens when I talk. It's like, she can't talk back. Alright?
He can talk tiger.
You can't talk tiger.
Whatever.
He's like, rawr, 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 rawr. It doesn't work that way. You know?
God. Well, wait.
Don't raise your roar at me, buddy.
You know? We've had 8 episodes recorded and... this episode will be published on Monday, but 8 episodes out of 30 so far, and 2 of them we've gone completely dark and obscure on topics. Episode 5 and this episode.
Episode 8, yes.
God.
Oh, wait, I meant damn.
Yeah, damn. It's like, this rocks. Oh, wait a minute. No, it doesn't. It's really bad. It's all very bad. No, but...
At the beginning of the episode, they actually have more foreshadowing.
Do they?
On what?
Why, is there a frog transformer coming? No. Is there a snake transformer coming? No. Is there a bird transformer coming? Well, we've already got a bird, so it don't count.
It's when Cheetor and Dinobot are searching.
Cheetor and Dinobot are searching for...
Aliens. Ooh.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? And I thought, and again, while I was watching this and not really remembering what the episode was about, I was thinking, sweet, we're going to find more alien ruins or floating islands or some shit.
Yeah.
Some shit. I like some shit.
Some kind of floating alien shit.
It's like guano, but not.
No.
Oh, wait, that's for bats.
Shut up.
Ah, nutty.
Professor.
That's right.
Although this is... It does end up tying back into the whole alien...
Yeah.
By the next episode.
Yeah.
Which pretty much the next 3 are all alien-based.
Oh, sweet. You see, that's where the chest burster should have come in from.
The what?
Harkening back to the low road where Rhinox got the face hugger.
And it comes out and goes...
It comes out of his chest.
And you see a beast mode Dinobot head come out.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The little alien, he's got a top hat, and he goes, hello, my baby, hello, my darling, hello, my rock.
Oh, you're Michigan J. Frog?
Grog? What?
Michigan J. Frog.
No.
Yes. I knew that's what you were alluding to. Well, they actually had that in
Spaceballs, the guy, I forget the guy's name offhand, but the guy who played the guy that the astronaut that it happened to in the original Alien movie was in Spaceballs.
Right.
And then the same guy.
Right. The alien came out of his stomach, and he went into Hello My Baby, Hello My Honey, which was Michigan J. Frog.
Yeah.
from which the frog never actually was named until it got to Kids WB, but it was the frog from Looney Tunes, the talking frog when the guy was trying to make the money and he couldn't make the money because the frog would never sing.
Right.
When other people were watching.
When everyone was watching,
right. It's funny that they had to give him a name, because apparently you can't be on TV if you don't have a name.
You can't just be that frog.
No, they had to give him a name.
But I think it's cool, though. Anyway.
Now they have Michigan J. Alien.
Oh, good lord.
Well, because he can't be on Spaceballs unless you give him a name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call him Professor Balls.
Now, they're going to have Michigan J. Vok. As jumps out of Rhinox's chest and... Hello, my baby! Hello, my darling!
They already did that on Tigerhawk.
Oh. Tigerhawk jumps out of Rhinox's chest?
No, the Vok come out of Tigerhawk and the same. Yeah. Dive into Tarantulas.
Oh.
I'm going to have to go back and watch these again, because...
Yeah. I'll re-edit that with some funny clip. I don't know. Okay. I'll do that later.
Yeah. It sounds terribly cool, though. Can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, as soon as I figure out how to do it, so...
Wait, what?
I'm going to remix that clip with different audio.
Okay.
It's going to be quite funny.
Okay.
If I remember by that point.
Yeah.
Well, I know I won't remember, unfortunately. My memory is a bad, bad thing. Do we have anything else about the low road? Or not that...
the low road.
See? I don't know. I already fucked up.
Yeah, we finished the low road already.
Law of the Jungle.
There was no farting in the Law of the Jungle. I don't know.
Thank the Lord. Yeah, Rhinox is still taking his Energon recuperation pills.
That's right. Look, it's a frog. Oh, look, it's a snake. Oh, it's a bird. The bird's eating him. Oh,
he's drinking.
Okay, stop.
They're all farting.
His duff.
Stop the farting.
Alright, we are going to...
I'm a pacifist now, and pacifists don't do podcasting, so I'm just going to go over here into the junkyard and fix washing machines.
Shut the hell up.
Scrub.
I can't be a leg anymore.
Coming up next are the quotes of the episode.
You are listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
This is quote number one.
Do something!
Pterosaur has not given signal!
Attack, you imbecile!
Was Benito will engage enemy.
This is quote number two.
And thus you are encouraged to keep your beak shut.
And quote number three.
Starscream and Black Arachnia, I'll have both their treacherous hides. Yes, I'll melt them down and use them for aluminum siding. Oh, yes, indeed.
This is quote number four.
Oh, Wasbinator has a headache in his whole body.
And this is quote number five for Beast Unleashed, episode 8.
Twinkle, twinkle, little Starscream.
This is Megatron, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Ticket party.
Wait.
I was going to preface there. I mean, without context.
Wait. Shut up. I didn't even start the damn clip yet. Well, I started it, but anyway. Before we get to the actual outro of the show, Megatron had something to say.
Take it, Barney. Take it hard. Yes.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. Megatron says, Barney, don't make me tighten up my ass cheeks and rip your dick off, because I'll do it.
Barney's wearing panties.
Oh, God.
Barney's wearing panties. Look at the way he's dressed. You know he's asking for it.
Barney must be gay.
Okay, let's preface, like you said. Off air, Michael continued talking about the whole bestiality thing and mentioned that why aren't there any other purple dinosaurs around for Megatron to bang? And then Steve said what he said a second ago.
Yeah, I said that we'd have a Barney moment.
Yeah, lovely.
I love you. Shut up, bitch. I'm not done.
There will be no cuddling.
Only very, very hard.
I will cuddle you so hard. Oh.
Oh, God. Okay, excuse me.
You're not even going to be able to include that anywhere. That's just wrong.
Oh, it's
in the outro. We have small children listening to our show now. You realize this, right?
I don't
care. They'll hate Barney for life.
Night Max's mom is going to send us, like, hate mail. Like, what the hell?
Tough shit.
Honestly, people.
Tough shit. It's an explicit podcast made for adult geeks like us.
Let your kid listen. Nah.
No.
I bet you this episode will get the best review yet.
Well, this is actually clip. This is actually the outro clip of the show. I wanted to, after we went into that whole comedy bit there, wanted to make an announcement about this episode. The official episode art, I'm debating between Rat Trap with a Hard Hat or Rhinox blazing the chain guns with bullet shells all around him. We do have one other artwork, I think. One or two, I forget.
There's one with Starscream as well.
Right, there's one with Starscream. That's not going to be the official art. However, we will put it in the website post. So if people want to change their art in iTunes, they can do that. But the official art is either going to be the Rat Trap with a Hard Hat or Rhinox's bullet infestation. Crickets.
Bullet infestation.
Yes, it'll be whatever.
Who knows?
My bad.
It'll be what, Steve?
I says it'll be one of them.
Yeah.
Whatever we decide by the end of the episode.
Yeah, true. So, are we done? Do we have anything else we want to inflict on these good people?
I don't think I want to injure their minds anymore for this week.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
I'm freaking out, man.
I can't think of anything suitably horrible, so...
Stay tuned for next week. Same beast time, same beast channel.
Bestiality channel.
Oh, Christ, that's the last thing we fucking need.
Wow, chicka wow.
I was wondering if you were going to do that. Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay.
All right. straight face. Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can also comment on each of the posts. Join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Show name there is Beast Unleashed. Mine is TFG1 Mike. Michael, what is your Twitter?
PeconCourt Michael.
And Steve?
SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Join us next time when we will be reviewing the final three episodes of Beast Wars Season 1. Wow, Season 1's actually gone fairly fast.
It is.
Those being Before the Storm and the two-parter Other Voices. And Skype is beeping at me. Why is Skype beeping at me? No.
Short.
No, Michael, no. No. I would like to note about Other Voices, we'll be doing it in the same vein as we did the trigger. So it'll be one whole long audio clip for that. So for now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Narwhals, narwhals living in.
Oh, Christ.
You didn't finish.